I'm wondering how many of you in the past week have sent an email. How many have used email in the past week? Okay, thank you. How many of you have used... Oh, mine isn't out at the moment. Mine's a very up-to-date one, if I was to show you after the service. But how many of you have used a mobile phone and sent a text? Okay, thank you. How many of you have written a letter and put it in the postbox in the last week? Not quite so many, I noticed. Thank you. The art of letter writing, they tell us, is dying because people no longer seem to use it. And yet one of the most exciting moments in my wife's and my life is when the letterbox rattles. That shows you what an exciting life we lead, doesn't it? But it's usually a race to see who can get to the door first to pick up the post. Nothing like a letter coming through the letterbox. It's okay having email. It's okay having texts. But to have a letter come through, well, sometimes we're not so keen. I'm going to talk this morning about different kinds of letters that we get. And the first one I'm going to talk about is this one. Big bill. We're not quite so keen, my wife and I, when we know what's inside the letter, if it's got a bill inside, we're not quite so keen to open it. Because a bill means that you owe somebody something. That you've got to pay some money. And none of us like paying money. None of us. Doesn't matter what it's for, even if it's buying food. You know, you get a bill come through the door and you think, oh. And worst of all is the unexpected bill. The one that you'd forgotten about. The bill comes through. You owe. And you've got to pay or you're in trouble. Now, in a sense, and I keep wandering around here, I'm trying not to knock the microphone off this time. It'll be the first time since I've been coming here that I don't. If I don't do it, so a little round of applause at the end if I manage to achieve that. But we've got a letter here. It's a bit big. It is a bit big. It's actually got, do you know how many books in there? There are 66. 66. In a sense, 66 letters. Some of them are real letters, but almost like 66 letters from God telling us all about himself. How many know their way through all 66 letters? Anybody? I think I've done this with you before, haven't I? Have I? Perhaps I haven't. Anybody who can go from Genesis to Revelation? Just about. Let me give you a song. We'll do it quick. I didn't mean to do this. This is what happens, you see. There's a song that you can sing. It's to an old Sankey tune. Sankey? Who on earth's that? You know, okay. Anyway, it is to an old Sankey tune. And it's to the tune of Down in the Valley with My Savior I Would Go. Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus, for those who remember Sankey at all. Anyway, goes like this. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, and Samuel. Samuel, Kings and Kings, Chronicles and Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms and Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea and Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians, Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, Peter, John, Jude, Revelation. Now your turn. Yeah, I've taught it to you, you know. It is good to know. So that when the Jehovah's Witness comes to your door and says, do you know what it says in the book of Habakkuk? You can say, yes, I can turn to the book of Habakkuk. Good thing to do at holiday club, Steve. There you go. Get the children to learn the books of the Bible. But they're all letters to us from God. And in there many of those letters say, you owe a bill. You owe a bill. I'm going to ask you, perhaps, would you look after that one for me until the end of the service? Thank you. I'm going to ask you to come out and hold them up at the front at the end, all right? There's nothing inside. I'm very sorry about that. It's nothing very exciting. But God, the Bible tells us that because of the things that have gone wrong with the world, and we're part of that wrong, we owe a big bill. But the Bible also tells us that although we owe that bill, somebody has already paid the price. Now, isn't that wonderful? I think that's terrific that when you open up the letter, you see this enormous bill at the bottom. Now, I can't pay that. And it says, it's okay. Right across it, it says, paid in full. Not partly paid, but paid in full. And Jesus, when he went to the cross, that's what he did. He paid the bill for each one of us so that we can now afford to go to heaven. We're going to have a reading, and I'm sorry, I haven't got my list of who's reading. Now, other types of letters that we get, and sometimes we get them marked like this, and it says, I get the right one, that it's personal. It's a personal letter. Now, although my wife and I race each other to the door, if the letter is marked personal, and it's addressed to us as individuals, we don't open it. Only the person to whom it is sent opens it. If it's addressed to both of us, we would both be happy to open it. But sometimes we try to keep little secrets from each other. Like I had some theatre tickets come through this week and I didn't want her to see it, so I got to the door first and I've hidden the tickets away and she doesn't know about it. But it was personal. It was addressed to me. It was personal. It was my message, my letter. Nobody else's. It's mine. And that's the same with the Bible. God's message to us is for us as individuals. Yes, we say God loves the whole world, and sometimes that's an easy, almost a cop-out for us. We can say, oh yes, God so loved the world. You know, we'll be having that reading a little bit later on, but under a different guise. But we forget that it was for me as well, that it's personal. You know, it's no good saying, oh, mum and dad are Christians. Oh, that's good. I must be a Christian as well. I was like that. I was brought up in a Christian home. And at the age of 15, probably younger than some of you, I don't know, certainly younger than some of them, I'd started preaching. What did I preach about? I look back now and I think, how on earth could I do it? Because I hadn't accepted at that stage that God's love for me was personal, that his letter was to me, and that if I'd been the only person in the world, God would have sent his son to die on the cross for me. Not because I'm good or I'm special, but because love loves me so much. And it wasn't until about 3 years later that I knew what that personal message was, that Jesus had died for me and had paid that price that we're talking about. So please, as you're growing up, don't live on your mum and dad's faith. Don't live on your grandparents' faith. Find God for yourself. Find the personal message that's there, just for you. We're going to have a reading that tells us that now, and Roz is going to read it to us, please.
This is from Mark chapter 10. 13-16. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them.
Jesus took the smallest children that were there, the littlest, and he laid his hands on them. It was personal. We have a little lad in our church who is 8 years old, and he gave his testimony a few weeks ago when he was baptized. During the past year, he has followed the church Bible reading scheme, and he's read the whole Bible in a year. Some of it he didn't understand. Some of it he didn't like. But he stuck at it. And he's so proud of himself for having read through God's word. Because it was personal to him. It's personal. I'm going to ask you, will you look after that for me until the end of the service? Would you be willing? Thank you. It's a personal message. That your price, you know all those things you've done wrong? And you wouldn't dare tell anybody else about those thoughts that you've had. You wouldn't want other people to know. God says, if you want me to. This personal message says, I was very impressed with the notices at the beginning. Not because Steve took 10 minutes, but I was very impressed that for next Monday week, not tomorrow, but Monday week, you have a very special occasion planned for Valentine's Day. You've got a church meeting. I think that's glorious. I think it must have been a man that planned that. I can't think of any lady that would have planned it for that evening. Yes, maybe. But the Bible is a big bill that's been paid. It's a personal letter, but it's also a love letter. I wonder how many will dare admit that they've already bought a Valentine card. Nobody? How many would dare admit that they're hoping to receive one? Oh, very good. There's one willing to admit it anyway. I remember some years ago, our daughter was very fond of a young man when she was at college. And me, being a very wicked father, decided to send her a Valentine card. Of course, Valentine card traditionally is not supposed to say who it's from, and this didn't. But unfortunately, she went rather overboard in believing it was from this young man. You can imagine the outcome of that, because he wasn't interested in her. And she's never let me forget it. It was a false love letter. It didn't tell the truth. God's love letter does. God's letter says, God loves you. And if you remember nothing else about this morning, I'm going to keep saying it, God loves you. A young man called David Wilkerson was walking the streets of New York. And while he was there to work amongst those lads that carried knives and ran in gangs, and they were notorious. And he felt God had called him to go there. And he was walking along the street one day when he was confronted by a gang. And in that gang was a young man called Nicky Cruz. And as David Wilkerson approached them, Nicky Cruz drew his knife. And he said, I'm going to cut you into 1,000 pieces. And David Wilkerson said, yes, I know you can do that. But when you've finished, every one of those pieces will cry out to you, God loves you. Nicky Cruz turned around and ran away. But Nicky Cruz was later to become a Christian. And he always took it back to that time when David Wilkerson kept reminding him that every piece of his body says, God loves you. I have special reason to be thankful to David Wilkerson through Nicky Cruz, because it was through Nicky Cruz's ministry at Mutley Plain Baptist Church in Plymouth that one of our daughters came to know God for herself. She learned that God loved her. If you don't remember anything else, please believe it when you don't think that anybody else cares. Especially as you're in your teenage years, sometimes you think nobody cares, and you go off and slam your door to your bedroom and shut yourself away. Yes, they do. God loves you. Thank you, Leon. Sometimes we get in the post something that we quite like. We get an invitation. Maybe you've had one of these at school and somebody's brought it to you. You know, invitation to a party. Oh, yeah. That's great stuff, an invitation to a party. And don't you feel, if you've seen other people being given invitations, you know, you've been on the playground and the people have been giving out the invitations and you've been left out. You don't get one. You're not invited to the party. You know how you feel? You feel left out. You feel, nobody cares about me. Why didn't I get an invitation? Let me tell you, the invitation the Bible talks about is for everybody. You've all got one. Because do you know what it says? Whenever someone comes to know God for themselves, when they've learnt that the price has been paid, that it's a personal message for them, and that God loves them, when they accept that for themselves, there's a party in heaven. There's a party in heaven. I don't know what you think heaven's going to be like. You know, if you read the Bible, it doesn't sound too exciting, standing around in white and looking at God. That'd be wonderful, I'm sure, but it's not exactly how I see heaven. Now, I'm going to tell you what heaven's like. How about that? You've learned a lot this morning, haven't you? I'm going to tell you exactly what heaven is like. I want you to think of the most wonderful moment you've ever had. The most joyful, the most exciting. The time when you felt you could float on air. Then I want you to multiply that by infinity and carry it into eternity. That's what heaven is like. It'll be such joy. And there is joy in heaven. If somebody this morning, for the first time in their life, says, I want to follow Jesus. I want to be a Christian because I know the price is paid. I know he loves me and that message is for me. There'll be rejoicing in heaven, Jesus says. There'll be a party. And we're all invited. The invitation is for everyone. Have you ever received an invitation and you've turned it down? And the person at the other end is quite sad. Last Sunday morning, an invitation was given to us. Is that me? Sorry. An invitation was given to us to go to someone's 60th birthday. She doesn't look 60. She did 10 years ago, but she doesn't now. And we were given... Sorry. We were given this invitation, and my wife looked and said, we can't go. And the lady's face dropped. She was sad. Actually, we can go, as it's turned out. We've managed to work it. But she thought, oh, they won't come. And whenever people turn Jesus down, I think there's sadness in God's heart then. When they're given the opportunity to follow him and to know him and to know that love, and they say, no thanks, because we can. You can refuse an invitation. There's sadness in God's heart. So I'm asking you this morning, accept God's invitation. And we're going to hear about that now as Steve is going to read us from Luke's Gospel. Now this one you might not be able to read quite as well. I'm going to ask anybody under 20 to tell me what this says, okay, if they can. Anybody under 20? What does it stand for? Go on then. No? Worth a try. On Her Majesty's Service. It usually means it's come something to do with the government or the Queen. Now the Bible has got an OHMS. It's on His Majesty's Service. And if you've got that in the top corner, You might get a little bit excited. It might be an invitation to the Queen's garden party at Buckingham Palace. Might be. Unlikely in my case, but normally it would be something that I have to do. It's usually asking me to fill a form in. It's usually OHMS at the top, and you've got to fill it in. Something to do. And that's the same with what the Bible letter says. For us, if we have accepted that our sin has been paid for, the bill has been paid, that it's personal for me, that God loves me and I've accepted the invitation, God then says, yes, we've had our party in heaven. Now it's time to move on. On Friday night, we celebrated 10 years of Ron's ministry at Histon Baptist Church. But at the end, what we all wanted to say was, that's the past now. That's over. It's what's ahead that's important. What does His Majesty want us to do now? And our final Bible reading, which I'm going to just, there's only three verses, I'm going to read to you, tells us that if we've accepted that invitation, this is what we're to do now. From Acts chapter 1 and verses 6 to 8. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You will be my witnesses. You are the ones to tell others. And can you come out as I say your name, as I say your letter, that your bill has been paid? We have to go out and tell people that the bill has been paid. We have to come right forward to the rail, then people can see it, that it is a personal message, just for you, just for you. Jesus loved you so much. And that personal message is that God loves you. God loves you. And that He has given you an invitation. Would you like to both come out with that one? Would you like to both come out? There you go. It's a personal invitation to join His family. That's it. And if you hold it with the other hand, it might be easier. That's it. And that if you have accepted that God has paid the bill, that it is personal for you, that He loves you, and you've accepted His invitation, He says, now, your job is, and that applies to all of us, it's your job to go and tell others. Why? Not because we want the church full, although that would be lovely, but that's not the reason. Not because we want a better place in heaven, which is what the Mormons believe, that the more you do, the better God's place will be for you. That's not what we're doing. It's because we want to see other people, those whom we love, come to know Jesus for themselves. Thank you very much indeed. You can go and take your seats now if I take these off you. Wonderful to get letters. Well done. Thank you. Thank you. We're now going to say a prayer together before our final song.